Mini episode 702 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs, consulting, and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 702. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Better Call Saul episode 2.4 titled Gloves Off. Here are the top five developments coming out of episode 2.3. Number five, Jimmy's impulse control with his great commercial is going to be a real problem. In last week's preview, we made the same mistake that Jimmy subsequently would. We regarded the mellow, guitar-playing Clifford Maine, played by Ed Begley Jr., as an old softy. All we suffer for that assumption is the mild shame of being proven wrong, although it's clear that we simply fell for the misdirection that the writers intended with the casting. Jimmy's consequences, as we see from the coming attractions, may involve termination for cause. In another glimpse of the time ahead, when Saul Goodman will saturate the Southwest airwaves with his entertaining brand of ambulance chasing, Jimmy worked with his film student associates to create a real 30-second masterpiece. And then all he had to do was bide his time, wait for Cliff to get back from the trip, and sell him on why the more aggressive commercial approach was the right one. But he couldn't do it. Goaded by Chuck's disapproval, he is embracing the living-on-the-edge approach, creating trouble that he challenges himself to escape. By doing this, he has endangered not only his great new job, but the one relationship he has left that he truly values. Number four, Kim's explanation of why she needs Jimmy to walk the straight and narrow heightened expectations that she will play heavily into the destruction of his old life. After telling Jimmy that she can't hear any more squat cobbler stories, she still sees him dissembling in the meeting about his Amarillo stunt, so she lays it on the line for him. She's already put her neck on the line for him. She pushed for him to get the Davis and Maine job, knowing how great he could be if he could keep focused on his business. If Jimmy crashes and burns, so would her reputation for good judgment. When she realizes that Jimmy pulled an end-around on Cliff even after having been warned about what she had at stake, it may be at least the beginning of the end of her burgeoning next-level relationship with our lovable underdog con man. Number three, Jimmy's ambush of the senior bus was worthy of inclusion on a Saul Goodman Greatest Hits collection. If you can't get to the seniors, get them to come to you. These crooks at Sandpiper Crossing are truly no match for our hero, but they do benefit from the fact that the code of legal ethics can handcuff lawyers sometimes. Frankly, you're not supposed to do what he did, which crosses the legal line in terms of how solicitation is defined, but of course Jimmy did it anyway. And of course, it's one more story that could come back to bite him later on, but those are piling up rapidly anyway. Number two, is Stacy playing a game with Mike, and does it matter even if she is? There are different interpretations online about what she thought she heard. Unbeknownst to her, Mike staked out her neighborhood and found that the morning newspaper delivery was responsible for creating the noises that she thought she heard. But then she claimed to find actual bullet holes on her house, which Mike knows not to be true. Is her paranoid imagination getting the best of her, or is she after more of Mike's dirty money so that she can move her daughter to a better area? Mike may or may not know the answer to this question, but it doesn't matter either way. He blames himself for his son's death, and as such, he feels a debt to his daughter-in-law and his granddaughter that he can never repay. In his mind, Maddie should still be around, taking whatever extra money is necessary to give his family the very best, so Mike is determined to fill that void, whether Stacy is working him or not. Number one, we got a reminder that this prequel is the story of two men, both driven by family issues, both breaking bad, as Walter White would do later. Chuck continues to push Jimmy's buttons, triggering an impulse to backslide to the slippin' Cicero days at every interval. And now Stacy has returned to the on-screen story, leading Mike to track down the vet for more opportunities to earn for his family. Jimmy has assured Kim that he won't get caught on the wrong side of the line, just as Mike has drawn a line at becoming an actual thug, but both of these postures are softening before our very eyes. Mike's huddle with Nacho at the end of episode 2.3 shows him about to take a fateful step. During Walt's journey, we encountered Saul and Mike as finished products, men who had already crossed their personal Rubicons of ruthlessness. But it turns out that this wonderful prequel covers their own journeys across that river, their own transformations from men who were a bit shady to outright criminals and racketeers. And like Walter, their motivations stem from family considerations, albeit a variety of them among the three men. We know how Walt's path unfolded, and we know that Mike will remain largely unchanged on the outside the rest of his life, although selling what's left of his soul to raise more money will affect him internally. But Jimmy's remaining trajectory stubbornly remains a mystery. Every time we think we see the catalyst for his ultimate transformation, it's another misdirection. But it's coming, inevitably, and when it does, it's going to be glorious. In the meantime, the journey is pretty awesome as well. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.